studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, welcome to Abounding Grace, a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We're thankful that you've joined us again. Yesterday and this past week, we have looked at a fascinating subject of gospel preaching and its importance that this is the means that God is still using to save souls. We've been impressed with that looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul was wrestling with a church that was wanting to compromise the message, that was wanting to compromise the methods and use the techniques and use the world's wisdom and use the entertainments and gimmicks that it offers with attempts to win souls. And Paul comes along and he says, no, the means that God has chosen to save souls until the day that Christ comes again will always be the preaching of the cross. That is what he delights in to save, because then the excellency of the power is of him and not of us. Yesterday I posed the question, why are Christians all around us then still turning to golden calves? You'll remember the children of Israel up on the mountain when God was giving the law to Moses. They couldn't see God. All they saw was the smoke and the darkness. And so they wanted a God just like the nations. They wanted something tangible. They wanted to bring God down to them. They wanted to reach out and touch God. And so they made a golden calf. And God judged them for that. And yet today it seems that so many are turning to golden calves in Christian ministry with the conviction or with the thought that God's methods don't work. There's got to be something better we can do to reach the masses. And Paul says, no, it is the message of a crucified Savior who shed his blood on the cross to save sinners, who is now resurrected. It's that message that is able to save souls. And what a challenge that we're feeling, at least as a gospel minister, when we hear that people don't have long attention spans anymore for long sermons that are irrelevant and boring. And sometimes it's ironic that that statement will be made right after a man labored to preach Christ and him crucified. Paul would have never heard of it. He says, I cannot know anything among you, he said, except Christ and him crucified. The gospel of a dying Savior to pay for sins was at the heart of what all of Paul said. It was his single passion. It is mine for you. Why? Because it is the one message that he's using to overturn the entire world system and the one message that he has chosen to save souls. You know, I'm reminded of something that God said to Ezekiel in chapter 33, and if there's ever a message that is more so relevant and so important for every minister of the gospel to hear today, it's this. In Ezekiel chapter 33, God warned Ezekiel, saying, "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall surely die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." And so we have to be willing to give the whole counsel of God concerning salvation. And that will include the threat of hell for those who do not believe. That will include the threat of impending judgment for those who do not look to Christ. because we have this grand responsibility given to us in gospel ministry. And when a man blatantly leaves these things out of the message and instead chooses to tickle people's ears and provide entertainment, not only does he endanger his entire flock, but he endangers his own soul. This should terrify any preacher of the gospel and any layperson who sits and hears a man preach. The question should always be, what is his message? We have to be discerning. And so I say, when I'm asked to do something different, when I'm asked to tickle people's ears, pardon me as a gospel minister if I choose not to put an entire flock in jeopardy or my own soul in jeopardy because I have wanted to please man. I am first and foremost called to please God with the message that he calls us to give. Paul says in verse 3, I was with you in weakness, and we're back again in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Trembling, yes. What a statement, isn't it? Because of the terrible weight of souls upon his heart as an ambassador of the message. He knew that what he did would affect eternally people's lives. The message that he's bringing was the power of God to save. And as an official ambassador called by God in heaven, sent to you carrying God's official treaty seals and the message that's able to save, that should weigh very heavily upon any gospel minister. It should produce fear and trembling to think that through the message heralded, souls are being saved. And so all the more the minister should desire, as is said in the Gospels, let me decrease so that Christ would increase. Let me not be seen so that the power of Christ and the message that goes forth from our mouths would be heralded to save souls. So here we're faced with this great task to preach the gospel. And Paul then adds to this in verse 4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And listen to this, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you hear it? There's no power in the medium. There's no power in the one who stands up there and preaches to you. The power is in the message and how the Spirit chooses to work through that in your hearts. And so the messenger's task is to stand up and to herald to you what God says. It's his message. It's his kingdom. It's not ours. And when Christ and him crucified is preached, the wisdom of God, a crucified Messiah, when I faithfully tend to that calling, guess what happens? The Spirit chooses to work. Souls are reborn. Life and flesh begins to come upon dry bones in the wilderness. And through the Spirit and his power, faith is created in the heart. So that when you come to faith, when you believe, when you hear and believe through this foolishness, all of the glory, all of the power, all of the wisdom may be not of men, but of God. Now, I want you to think about this today, friends. In the days of Nehemiah, after God's people had been carried away to Babylon in judgment, Israel had done the same thing that we're seeing today. They rejected the message. They wanted to tickle people's ears. They wanted to tell everyone, peace, peace. God judged them, but he saved a remnant. He brings them back. And what was the sign of reformation? Well, in Nehemiah chapter 8, you'll find that he stood on this platform of wood. This grand pulpit was raised, and all the people were worshiping with their faces to the ground, and the symbolism was clear. The nation had again gathered under the word of God, for they were not on equal ground, and they were hearing God's spokesman. There was diligence, there was reverence, there was submission to God and worship, the great God of heaven and earth, as they stood under his word. Do you know that this was across denominational lines? In the days of the Reformation, a great pulpit was raised high above the people, and men would have to walk up into it. They would have to plant their feet, and they would herald the word of God as the means that God had chosen to save souls. There was something very symbolic about that old heavy furniture in the house of God, bolted in pews, a raised pulpit, a communion table, a baptismal font. This would have been common across denominational lines years ago. Friends, hear me carefully. Inter-revivalism, and all of this was replaced with a stage atmosphere. New measures, they said, in the name of winning souls. The furniture was removed, the pulpit no longer held much significance, it was just put off to the side, and the church leaders and the people were looking for a casual atmosphere of, quote, experiencing God in many different ways. The damage has been huge. We've left the impression to the world that coming to church is only coming to hear a man and not God. And sadly, in an effort for evangelistic outreach, we've abandoned the one thing that he has promised to bless to save souls, the preaching of the word. What is our response to this? Well, after you've heard this, wouldn't you say with me, enough of the gimmicks? Give me the word, then I will be fed. Shouldn't you become righteously angry when a man stands up in front and refuses to preach Christ and him crucified, but instead tickles your ears and instead uses a golden calf to allure your soul? Would not the struggling sinner who really believes that God is feeding him with a message that is able to save say, more, how can I dare to miss what God has chosen to feed my weary soul? Are we really sacrificing our souls to have our ears tickled? Are we willing and ready to begin to stand up and say, no more moralism, give me Jesus. No more shallow insights, feed me with Christ. No more mindless lessons, preach to me the cross as a weary sinner. I guess this will mean that we need to start and go back to the beginning. It will mean reaching out to our loved ones who've walked away from what they know to be true and maybe even have been raised with and believed all their lives and have defected to this sort of approach to ministry. My heart goes out for them. They know. Many are simply sheep who have sadly been neglected by compromising shepherds and leaders who refuse to do what God has said. My friends, may you see what the truth of the gospel is. May the word of God with the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified fill your souls with joy to know that through this gospel, you are fed, souls are being saved, and faith is being strengthened as you press on to your eternal land of rest. We don't need anything else. Let us stay satisfied with what God has given. And then he will be magnified in our bodies, whether in life or in death. The excellency of the power will be of him and not of us. And isn't that how it should be? And then souls will genuinely be saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. May the gospel preached again impact our hearts and our souls to say constantly more and more, give us Christ until the day that we see him come on the clouds of heaven. Have a great week.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429, or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.